You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 124 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Cashel Company. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's show, we chat with thoroughbred trainer and polo player Neil Agee on his love for the thoroughbred and why he thinks polo is a great avenue for them. With a new year comes a new Making the Makeover class. We introduce you to Maya Larson and Dana Johnson, who are two out of our four featured makeover competitors. We then introduce you to our adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you're listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
It's like almost springtime, Kristen.
It is, yeah. We had like a blizzard on Sunday, and now it's 65 degrees, so... It was yes. A weird one.
While it gives me panic for horses and everyone's getting extra salt and lots of water.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not mad for it selfishly.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like it feels, I don't remember what March is supposed to feel like anymore, I guess.
I don't even know what month it is anymore or day.
Yeah. Like we have cows ready to calve, which is early for us. That in and of itself is pretty funny because we were walking through the cow pasture a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago. And, you know, we know like, oh, cow gestation period is 9 months and a week. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law's boyfriend has his phone out and he's like, how many days is that? And I was like, I don't know. So I like Googled it and I was, he's like crunching numbers on the calculator. And I was like, okay, it's 283 days. And he turns his calculator around and he's like, today is day 282. And we were like, uh-oh, from when the first cows had been exposed to a bull. Oh, we were like, oh, yeah. Shoot. So, yeah, so we're officially on cow watch or calf watch.
So. I love it. And like for listeners who might be new, Chris and I, surprisingly, are friends outside of the podcast too. So we're in a group chat together. And I love that your hoo-ha season post and like the cow butts.
Yeah, it's just me staring at cow private parts all the time being like, are you close? Are you... So yeah, look wildly inappropriate. But yeah, if you are waiting for baby calf photos, just keep an eye on our Instagram story because when I'm out there, I like to share little updates. We don't have any yet, so don't get too excited. Actually, by the time this comes out, I hope we do. We're recording on the 13th. This yes. is coming out the 25th. So if we don't have one by then, I'm going to be a little disappointed. Concerned.
Yeah.
We'll be shaking the cows like, release the hostage. So,
yes. We'll Although see. You do, that does give you some extra time to practice. So, your groundsman.
Yeah. That's the problem, right? Like, we have not really been doing a whole lot. Like, this is the least riding we've ever done on a winter just because it was so inconsistent. It was really hard to kind of get a rhythm going. So, in the past, like, we've practiced our roping all winter. And I took out my rope for the first time yesterday. So, yeah. I was like, ooh, sorry, Charles. Like, it's, it might take us a hot minute to actually catch any calves.
You'll be fine. I mean, I remember last year, your goal was just to like be good at catching a calf. I think it was like one time or something that you had like very low ball. And then you did it by this time.
Yeah. But like, if you set the bar really low, then you're never disappointed. That's my strategy. So. Well,
I can't say I disagree that's with fine. You. I have a clinic this weekend. I'm like, we are wildly underprepared, but that's the whole point of going to clinics is to learn. So
yeah. What's fully, the goal?
Fully set the goal really low. we're going to look tragic, but we're going to go learn and I'm excited for it. So we're going to pack up Friday. It's a dressage clinic where a judge is actually coming in. So you run through your test and then they nitpick it apart right in front of you.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I'm paying money for this.
Get a nice thick skin.
Yeah, the perfectionist in me is only crying constantly, but it's okay. But yeah, Astrid's been in work officially 2 weeks now. So her stamina isn't really there. I don't know how we're going to make it an hour, but I'm just going to be transparent with the judge. And, you know, worst case, we get some really good walk work if she needs a break, because we know the walk is one of the hardest gates. So I'm
she's got a nice walk. So yeah,
you should she does. Shape for that booty yeah. sways. So that's nice.
Yeah. But the work I've seen you know, putting on social media looks great. So
she was actually stellar. I rode yesterday and she was actually balanced on the bit for like 80% of the ride. So that was surprising. This isn't like a sponsored training tip by any means, but I was watching the Your Riding Success videos. They have an old series when they were training their a thoroughbred for dressage. I think it was like 2021 or something. It's during COVID for sure. And I was like, I'm going to watch these videos again because it was icky outside and I wanted to educate myself, but I didn't want to go to the barn. And my trainer's in Florida, so I haven't had a formal lesson in a hot minute. So one of the things they talked about was like sitting in the banana. Like if you think about bending your horse in the shape of a banana, you should be sitting in the hole of that space to try to hold the bend. And I think I overfixate on where my calf and hands are that I'm not actually thinking about my entire seat sometimes for the bend. I'm overfixated on what the front end looks like. And so for some reason thinking my horse was a banana and I needed to fill that gap, how would I do it? It worked. It worked for my brain. And she's been like balanced and pretty, and we haven't had any arguments, knock on wood, because we will, but for now it's going well.
The silence is just me still trying to work out the banana piece, but
I'll gosh, get there. You should have seen like wrapping my head. I will do a whole diagram and put it on the internet for you guys.
I agree with you though. Yeah, it's really easy to think about what your hands are doing and what your legs are doing. And it's like,
and you forget really the middle hard bits.
To remember. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm sitting on something.
Like my hips can do things. My core can do things. My chest can do things. Like forgot all of that. So, training tip, if you're working on bending and relaxing, squeeze your butt cheek for the direction you're trying to bend them to.
Okay. Yes. The banana and the, never mind.
Yes. I've also incorporated hand walking for her warm up. Since we're like out of shape, I've been doing like 15 minutes of hand walking. It's really interesting, like actually put your hand on them before you get started, then put your hand after and you physically feel them warm. Mm-hmm. That's been a game changer for us. And sometimes I do it outside of the arena too. So we'll just go walk around the property and like mix things up and kind of let her relax, puff out, all that stuff. And I feel like that's been a big game changer for us in our ride.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that too. Partially inspired by you posting that, but like, you know, we're trying hard this year to not have our rides go on for hours and hours, which they tend to do because I'll just start like hollering at Eric to have him try to fix something. And then suddenly it's like 8:30 and we're still out there. So, but you know, making sure that we get a legitimate like 15 minute ish walk warm up is can be hard to do. Cause you want, you know, when you get on, you kind of want to like ride out to the pasture and then get to work. But if we work in a little hand walk first, then, you know, you can use up a good 5, 6, 7 minutes of that.
Well, it's been good for me too. Like warming myself up. I didn't realize how stiff I was in the saddle until I actually like stretched a little bit and then would walk with my horse and I felt way more limber.
Oh yeah. Well, like you and I are desk jockeys like that.
Yeah.
You know, like we're not horse trainers.
Most of our listeners are too.
Right. Like we're just here hunched over a computer all day. And then suddenly we're like, okay, let's all be athletes. Athlete. Yeah. It doesn't work. So yeah, we all need a little warm up time. We're both on the other side of 30 where suddenly things are harder. So
chronic back pain. I think that was our new group chat name too. Like tall girls with chronic back pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to our world.
That's our world for sure. So if you feel like you're a part of that, I highly recommend, even if you do 10 minutes, but starting your warm up with a hand walk. And then I cool down with a hand walk too, mostly because my horse likes to believe if we're walking, that means we're done with exercising. She's still got a little bit of that track workout mentality. Mm. So I'm trying to retrain that when we get out of the saddle and walk, then we're done. And that seems to be going well for her.
Nice.
Yeah. But super excited for everything. I'm very excited to talk to Neil. We actually pre-recorded his, so I know exactly what we're talking about there. But what I love is I learned a lot more about polo, and I'm very eager to try and force Zach to do a polo date with me in the near future, but excited for listeners to hear. I think they're going to be inspired too. And we're going to be meeting our first two contestants of Making the Makeover.
I'm so excited. I am stoked.
Yes.
A new crop. We're going to bring up another generation.
I know.
Like proud
moms. Number three.
Yeah, I got to see Neil in person last week. So I was down at the RRP office for our annual all hands meeting, which other than the makeover is actually the only time we all get together. Because like 2/3 of us all work remote. So we've got a bunch of girls in Kentucky, and then I'm in New York. My graphic designer's in Idaho. Like we're all over
the place. I low-key had FOMO when I was seeing the updates.
It was really fun. It was really nice to all get together. And I think like, you know, I'm the person that does all the social media and communications for the RRP. So like part of this is my own fault, you know, but I present us as like the RRP, we, you know, that royal we, mm-hmm. like we as an organization, but like there's 9 of us. We all have very different tasks that all come together to put out everything that the RRP is doing, which is a lot more than the makeover, right? Like we're, I think mm-hmm. we're best known for the makeover, but you know, we
that's
have
just like one of many initiatives yes. you guys are doing.
Yeah. And every year there's more demands on our services than we can just put out because, you know, there's 9 of us, we're all working really hard, but like we, with the makeover in particular, we just cannot do more. So these meetings are just a nice time for us all to get together and kind of get re-inspired and like do some big picture planning. We've got some cool stuff coming. I'm just not allowed to talk about it yet because it's not official, but stay tuned because the RRP is going to
subscribe
about some pretty cool
subscribe.
Stuff. Yeah. And you know, like services and educational initiatives that are more than the makeover. That's what I'm really excited mm-hmm. about. You know, I know we all love the makeover and going to the makeover and celebrating the trainers and the horses and everything, but like there's so much more we yeah. can be doing in aftercare. And I'm really excited about where we're going.
I'm really excited for you to bring it to us because I think most listeners aren't going to the makeover. Most of us support mm-hmm. it. We love hearing about it. We also have a lot of listeners who don't have off the track thoroughbreds or standardbreds and just enjoy coming for the content. Yes, we see you. We appreciate you mm-hmm. all for joining.
We do.
But there's good training tips out of everything you provide. There's good health care and how to care for your horses in fall. Like there are so many resources that I think we sometimes forget that the RRP offers. So excited to showcase some more of that this year.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for giving us a platform to share everything that we're doing. So yeah.
Oh gosh. Stuff. Well, now that we're in the spirit of giving thanks, I'm going to give thanks to our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, who you're going to hear a short message from now.
This nutritional minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Biotin is a B vitamin and has become commonplace in feed rooms across the world because of its reputation as an effective hoof supplement. An interesting fact that was discovered by researchers looking at biotin's impact on hoof quality was that horses with normal blood levels of biotin still had poor quality hoof horn, and that despite normal blood levels, horses responded to high doses of biotin given orally. This tells us that unhealthy hooves are not necessarily a result of a deficiency. Over the years, multiple other studies have found a statistically significant improvement in overall hoof condition when horses are supplemented with at least 20 milligrams of biotin per day. Researchers found that if improvement in hoof quality was seen within 8 to 15 months of supplementation, the horse would need to remain on biotin the rest of its life to maintain that improvement. Other nutrients such as zinc, methionine, and iodine can also affect hoof quality. A well-balanced hoof supplement will contain all of these nutrients in addition to the 20 milligrams of biotin per serving. When you're looking for an affordable, effective hoof supplement, we recommend Keraform Hoof and Coat Supplement. If you want a show ring shine and strong, healthy hooves, you can count on Keraform. You can learn more about Keraform at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
We're very excited to have wrangled for ourselves today a polo expert. We have with us Neil Agate, who is not only an avid polo player and polo fan, but a thoroughbred lover and fan, and also the chair of the RRP board. And his biggest claim to fame recently was co-guest judging the stall decorating contest with Joy at the 2023 makeover.
It was a pleasure.
That was a great time.
It was the highlight.
Neil, thanks so much for joining us today. We're really excited to chat with you today about polo and thoroughbreds and all of it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be on.
So let's just sort of start at the beginning, I guess. How did you first get into polo as a sport?
Well, I've been riding all my life, moved around a lot as a child and rode all kinds of different things. But I went to George Washington University in the early 80s, and GW is right downtown. So it's very kind of very urban, but there's lots of open space down on the by the monument. So I used to wander down there on many days and read and study down there. And one Sunday I was down there and saw a bunch of horse trailers drive by, and so quickly scurried over there. And they, up until probably about 10 years ago, they used to regularly have polo matches on the mall on Sundays. And that's where I first saw polo, and I started going down there regularly, talking to people, and started warming up people's polo ponies when they were on the Sundays before they played, and eventually ended up announcing matches down there when a friend of mine who had been doing that moved on. So that was where I got my indoctrination to polo.
Oh, that's so cool. Why did they stop doing that? You know, that's such a neat idea.
If anything with the mall and the monuments is a lot of paperwork and things. And so it was always difficult to make sure the fields were mowed and all that, because it was always kind of someone having to really follow up on it. And the Martin Luther King Monument is actually at the, probably takes up about 20% of what used to be the full-size polo field. They've actually have started in the last couple of years doing a couple of matches every year. And I had the honor of announcing the District Cup in DC, which is just spectacular. I mean, I tell people the polo is great, but when you're going sort of flat out gallop down the field and you look up and you see the Washington Monument right in front of you, there's just nothing like it. And
oh yeah, how freaking cool.
So they now, I think they do two charity matches there a year now, the District Cup in, I think it's September, October being the main one. But
I love that. Yeah, stuff like that just makes like horse sports so much more approachable for people.
Oh,
if you can put it in a setting where people can find it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but I do a lot of announcing, and I love announcing matches like that District Cup because no one knows polo. I go to polo clubs around the country where it's kind of a players club where everyone there knows polo, and I kind of find myself sort of second guessing myself on what to say. But when it's just you're introducing people to polo, it's a great thing, and it's a great way to introduce people to horses in general. One of the highlights of the District Cup is that the mounted police always come bring four or five horses down there, and they're wandering around, and people get to walk up to them. So that's nice.
Yeah, like interact with them when they don't ordinarily. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Well, when you said like no one knows polo, like that's one of many reasons we're excited to talk to you, mostly just because you're fun to talk to, but also because like Joy and I don't know polo, you know, and it's such a great outlet for thoroughbreds, but it is just like, you know, it's one thing to put your horse on the trailer, go to the horse show and come home. But like, I don't know how to do that with a polo. Like it feels like a very foreign world to us, you know? So,
you only get the social media outlets that look very glamorous. Like,
yeah.
And I want to join the party. I get FOMO, but I also get intimidated.
like so many different sports and activities, the public sees the top 1-2%. I mean, there is a lot of polo is live streamed, but it's all the top 1% of teams probably in that play down in Florida in the high goal leagues. And that's fantastic. I mean, for a polo player like me, I could watch it all day, but it's not very beginner friendly to kind of help you understand the game or help you understand how you might play the game, because they're playing it 10 times faster than you. You're more likely to get frightened off by watching that than coach. So, but the U.S. Polo Association does very strongly promote polo schools, and most of the 300 odd clubs around the country have some kind of form of polo school.
That's cool. I had a friend when I wrote for Horse Nation, but we had another writer who just sort of decided to get into polo. And, you know, she hooked up with a local polo school. And I know that there's a famous quote about polo, and I don't remember who said it, maybe you do, but something about like polo is your passport, or can be.
Passport to the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the two famous quotes about polo are both Winston Churchill's. I'm second guessing myself on the second one, but definitely the passport to the world. A polo handicap is your passport to the world. And that was Winston Churchill. The other one is, the best thing for the inside of a man is the outside of a horse or something.
Oh yes. That's Churchill too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where has polo taken you in your life? You know, if you go through that passport.
Well, I mean,
metaphor.
I guess you could say it's taken me all the way to RRP, but I did the polo down on the moor while I was in university. I met a guy there who was going to the Potomac Polo School. He was a lawyer who worked downtown and happened to live about a couple of blocks away from me. So I used to get rides with him out to Potomac Polo School, run by the Muldoons in Poolsville, Maryland. And that's where I started to play polo. And a humorous family joke of mine is that my parents used to always say that sort of their poor son in college needs money for polo lessons. So Poolsville, Maryland, which we're rebranding Polosville, Maryland, has five polo clubs. Five of the 300 USPA polo clubs are in the little town of Poolsville, Maryland in Montgomery County. And I later moved out here, and I'm probably about 15 minutes from there. So I did that. I mentioned earlier a friend of mine who worked at the British Embassy used to announce the games down on the mall. And one day I used to keep score for him. And one day he hands me the mic and says, I'm getting transferred next week. So here you go. And that's how I started announcing. And that's been one of the fun things. I really enjoy that. As I say, I enjoy it because it introduces so many people to the sport of polo and to horses. I've announced regularly probably about a dozen charity polo matches, as well as some of the regularly scheduled matches here in the DC area. And I really enjoy that because you get out and you talk to people. And so it's taken me there. But the other one that is certainly I don't consider insignificant is that about 10 years ago, I was at a, probably more than that now, 12 years ago, I was at a Maryland Horse Council meeting and talking to Stuart Pittman. And he was fascinated by the idea of polo and said, I'd started this thing called Retired Racehorse, at that point, Training Project. And I'm like, well, I'd love to get involved with that. And so that kind of got me the foot inside the door, and I have helped chaperone the polo program and within RRP, and that's been. And then a few years, the first year it was going into Kentucky, I was talking to a friend of mine who was at the U.S. Polo Association and saying how frustrated I was not being able to get people to trainers to do polo, and he goes, "Well, why don't you do it?" And I'm like, "Well, I've never done that before," and he goes, "Well, you ride and you." You focus on getting the horse to do what you want it to do. I'll help you find a horse. And he did. And so I've now competed in the makeover four times. So, which I definitely consider the highlight of one of my highlights of my horse career, because it changed me from focusing on playing polo to focusing on training the horse and the horsemanship side of it.
I love that. And, you know, thinking of it from a horsemanship side, because, you know, it takes such a special kind of riding, at least from like our lay perspective, like watching it on TV, you know, like that it looks hard. Like you're riding very hard. You're also need the hand-eye coordination to like be playing a sport. And I know it's easy when things get fast, you know, to start. Like this is the reason I don't
taking
team
shortcuts.
Pen.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't team pen because I know what it does. It makes me too fast with my hands, you know? So slowing yourself down and having to think of it from the horsemanship perspective just seems like that's a win-win.
And one of the other things that you'll appreciate, because Kristen, with your Western thing is it's a combination of English and Western because you neck rein, but you typically are in an English saddle.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It seems so
which also
systematic.
adds another factor to it with training the horses off the track.
It's amazing because every year at the makeover, you know, all of us watching are like, gosh, these polo ponies are probably the most broke, like just handy horses here. And I don't know how anybody is
That's
getting them
I
done
got
in 10
too,
months.
Kristen. Yeah. I look at them like what a versatile horse, like the agility and their ability to think quickly, but stay calm. And like, I look at them and I'm like, wow, I wish my dressage horse could do something that these polo ponies are doing. And I'm like, maybe I should be training her for polo. It would make our dressage better.
Yeah, that's true. Well, balance is a key in all of them. And certainly balance is a key in polo. I am convinced, again, having done this four times and having in a number of times I consider successful, but not considered successful from the point of view of where I placed. I think that one of the key factors for certainly training polo, but probably others, is the amount of time in the saddle. Mm-hmm. I think the professionals who are able to get on that horse every single day for 6 months is a lot different from me that might get on them two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the adult amateur struggle for all of us with day jobs, right?
How do you balance it all?
Yeah. And like, how does it work? Like, do you still have the horses that you trained? Like, can you take your horses and go?
Don't tell my wife.
Polo man? Oh, okay, that's fine.
Yes, I have all four of my. I have all four of my horses I've trained. Two of them are part of my main string. I have a third one that's now getting close to retiring, who I've had before I started RRP. And then I have two, one that just spent 3 years being injured. And I think this year, although I said that last year, but I think this year she's ready to start working. And then my fourth one is just one that's a little high strung, and I just need to keep working her and decide when maybe she's ready for another career, but we're going to give her another chance. The last couple of years, for my personal reasons, I haven't ridden much. So this is going to be my start back year and see where they go. But my first year was a Devil is Due mare named Demon, who is my number one horse, and she's won a couple of best playing ponies in some tournaments I played in. And then another one was Wawa out of Any Given Saturday, who's great as well. So those are my two backbones. You really, I mean, to play at a club level, you need two horses that you can double chucker. So we usually play four chuckers, which are chuckers 7 minutes. And so you alternate them. And having a third one allows me not to push them as hard, because if they rode two chuckers one day, a couple of days later, they only ride one. So three is kind of what I like to have as far as horses. So I need to, in the next year, decide whether scout my old, my gelding, who's, I think he's about 21 now. He can still plays fantastic and probably has as much wind as the others. Is going to retire him and see if one of the other two will pick his space up, or what we do with that. But
oh, cool. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is like, how many horses do you need, and how does that work, you know, at the club?
Yeah, because to me, this sounds like the perfect way to say, I need 3 to 4 horses at any given time. Like, this sounds enabling.
It is enabling. Yeah. My wife, who is not a horse person, and has everyone tell her, oh, well, yeah, you take your horses to the makeover and you train them and then you can sell them. And she's like, Neil, why haven't you sold any of them? But she bought me a sign that says, horses are like potato chips. You can't just have one.
Yeah. Accurate. Mm-hmm.
No, I love that. My question, like, so you have four of them. And what is the ideal polo pony? Like, what's their personality? What's the conformation? Because I have something in my brain, and I think stereotypically we hear they're mares.
Yeah, so that's typically, I mean, and racehorse people who spend a lot of time placing horses love to know polo people, because the 15-hand to 15-3 mares are typically tough to place. And those are what most polo players look for.
That's what I have, and I have a chestnut to add to
and
that.
Chestnut is even worse. Yeah. So the one that's the logic, and I guess it's true, is that they say the mares are more aggressive than the geldings, and kind of once you've got them trained and they know what to do, having that sort of really get up and go and hustle for the position and that is more apt to find a mare. Although I would put my gelding Scout up against any of them. He gets pretty aggressive. I have a picture that's always reminds me of those racing pictures where you see the horses coming down the stretch and one of them is like turned and biting the neck of another one. He tried to do that once with one horse, but that would be a foul and they would not be allowed to do that in
Okay, so this isn't like hockey where the fight is encouraged.
It's definitely not encouraged. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but...
Okay. And so as far as like the personality during training, what are you looking for?
I say go, but not too much go.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want a horse that you're constantly having to sort of kick on and to move on. You want some more forward motion than not, but you don't. And I mentioned the mare that I've had that I was last in the makeover with. And I feel like it might be part of the race training is she just wants to go. You pull on her reins and she wants to go. And so the last couple of years that I have ridden her, I have just done walking and trotting with her. And I, every time she tries to go, I just pull her to a stop and she's getting better. So that's the kind of thing you want to try. Just some of those things, you just have to work on them a lot. But the shorter bodied horses will turn better. And there's a lot of stopping, turning. So that's also another attribute. But I say the mind, the personality is kind of the main thing that I look for.
I love that. Also, it sounds like my horse needs to try polo because I feel like you just described her to a T. And I was like, have I been withholding her from her true calling this whole time? She tried to go after poor Geldinginar, who was sharing the arena with us the other day. She's like, get out of here. This is my arena.
It does sound like similar attributes to a good ranch horse too, like something that's going to go forward and move out, but you don't want to like put your leg on and then be like four pastures over being like, oh God, it won't stop, you know?
and one of the things, and you mentioned this earlier and I forget what it was in reference to was, the fact of you think all the horses, the polo ponies at the makeover are well-trained and polo ponies make great kind of when they do retire from polo, as long as they're not lame and that kind of, as long as they're rideable, they make great general trail lesson horses, that kind of thing, because of that, because they are kind of so used to kind of standing around doing sort of just doing a job type of thing. So
good to know.
See, I didn't think about like the third career of a polo pony either. So I know. This could be just a great training opportunity to kind of get your horse very well rounded for any career, it sounds
and seasoned too. Because, like, I know, you know, I've spoken with past makeover winners, you know, we do this every winter, basically catch up with all the winners and, you know, ask them like, what was your secret to success? And turns out there are no secrets. It's all the same, like just get your horse out. But, you know, the polo guys, you guys are always hauling them somewhere and they stand tied to the trailer for a long time and they pony and they, you know, they load, they stand.
My horses get it worse because typically if I go and play in a game and then I'm announcing the second game, they sit and stay them under the trailer for an extra couple of hours. We do send people over with water and stuff to make sure they're okay,
That's just like good horse seasoning, right? Like they know how to do all the things. So
exactly,
I think sometimes I like look at the makeover and I'm like, I think the polo people just might be doing everything right.
So that comes to a good question: is how does someone get involved with this? We talked about the schooling, but as far as even just training, I would love to see more people try the polo division and the makeover, just because I think it's super friendly. You're not in a full match. You're by yourself showing skills. Like, to me, it's a great introduction opportunity.
It is. The tough thing with so many people with polo is that, I mean, everyone's so busy. And if you, I had, when I first did the makeover, I had two polo ponies. I was playing in tournaments and playing in club practices during the summer. So it's kind of, it's that extra level of work, but it's also, and I had ridden before I picked up polo, but lots of people come to polo just having, I mean, learning to ride when they play polo, which I think is crazy. I don't know how people do that. But I think I literally just had this discussion an hour ago with the U.S. Polo Association Equine Safety Committee. We were talking about horsemanship and how do we get people into the horsemanship side of it. And the answer we came up with is that you kind of need a mentor within the clubs. And all the clubs, certainly if you've got a polo school, you've got someone who understands or knows training. And that's the thing. I mean, So that's how to, I think, do it well. Essentially, you really need is the club facility and know someone in the racing business who's ready to retire a horse, just like any of the other disciplines. But the first horse I took through the makeover, I had them at our local polo club, and there were two or three professionals that I relied on very heavily, several of which later competed and cleaned up the floor with in the polo division after that. So, but it's a lot of, again, the main thing I think I still, even if you don't know what you're doing, I think the main thing is saddle time, but it's just a lot of repetition. I mean, you start them off in walk trots, get them used to neck reining. So lots of figure of eights at the walk and then figure of eights at the trot. And then once you've got the kind of the turning down, you want to be able to get them to kind of reliably stop and turn. And so it's like any training, probably any animal, but certainly any horse, is you don't look at it and say, I'm where I am now. How am I ever going to get to the final, the end line? You've got to sort of have little bits of pieces that you got to focus on. And then eventually it all adds up.
Yeah, it's like that 1,000-piece puzzle. Like each day you're putting another piece together to get to the final picture. What it sounds like to me too, and I know, Kristen, with the RP, you guys promote like the offsite Fridays and like getting your makeover horse out and seeing things. It sounds like another good way is just to take them to the polo club and like,
it is, without
let them
doubt,
see yeah. some things. Like,
yeah. And yes, I have the advantage, the shows. The advantage, one big advantage in doing that is that I have the other horses that are so used to that. So probably you take a horse off the track and every couple of days you load them up on the trailer and take them to a strange field and have them tied up on the trailer while they're not being ridden. That's probably a bit of a surprise to them. But again, having other horses that are used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of set the tone. Yeah. So if you are coming into polo like a well-rounded rider, but you've never done polo, do a lot of polo clubs, do they own their own horses that maybe you could learn on, or do you have to find like
polo clubs / polo schools have their own horses, and the club that again we have 5 in Poolsville, Maryland, near where I am, and the main clubs, Seneca and Congressional, have strings of polo ponies that they use mainly for the lessons, but also can be leased out for practice games and tournaments. And the logistics of that can sometimes be tough on the owners of them, but.
Right. Okay, that's good to know, though. So, like, Joy, you and I could just go take some lessons somewhere.
I know. So,
Detroit Polo Club. I don't know, Kristen, how far you are from Saratoga, but there's Saratoga Polo Club. I think there's one in Albany.
Yeah, I know our closest intercollegiate team is in Cornell.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is just a couple hours. Saratoga is a bit of a hike, but I wonder if Cleveland, Ohio, maybe? That's kind of a horsey area.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, it's doable.
Mine's about an hour, and my partner started riding too, so I'm like, oh, this could be a fun double date for us to try something new together.
That would be great, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right, well, if nothing else, Neil, you've inspired us to give it a go. I think it's more approachable than we thought it was, right? Like, it looks...
Unfortunately, you don't have much free time at the makeover, but Jorge at Lexington Polo Club has a great polo school, and I often sneak off during the makeover and ride a horse or two with him, so that's always fun.
Nice.
Oh, it's I'll hard have to join you to this next there. Year.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, Joy, you go on Friday. You and Neil go to the polo.
I go on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be fun to do.
Oh, I love Great. That.
We'll set it up.
So what makes the thoroughbred a good choice for polo in particular versus like a quarter horse or?
Well, I think, I mean, and this is probably isn't the expected. I mean, the availability of them, I think, is a key. I mean, quarter horses make good polo ponies. They often don't have the stamina that the thoroughbreds do. But they are often smaller and shorter. So, but that again is kind of similar to the 15-1, 15-2 mares. So, and I think the off the track racehorses have a bad reputation of you got to train them, but they're used to doing a lot of things that the polo ponies do. I mean, they're used to running, they're used to kind of being around people, being around other horses. So I think that gives them a little bit of advantage if you're training them from scratch. As I say, the toughest thing, in my opinion, and others would probably differ, is the neck reining. I think a lot of people kind of jump on a racehorse and try and get them to run around and try and get a neck reining. I feel firmly that doing it slowly with the neck reining, getting them used to walking and trotting and figure of eights and circles and stuff with the neck reining is the best way to go. And I don't think that would be any different from any other breed of horses, but I think it's mainly the stamina, probably, if you were looking at the difference between some other breeds. Argentine, the leaders in the world of polo ponies are Argentine polo ponies, but many of them, I mean, they have a huge amount of thoroughbred blood in them that gives them the stamina.
I think
the advantage they have is that they just have so many people over there that that train them. I mean, the horses get ridden in and out every day, and that's kind of a lot of the factors that go into making the Argentine breed so successful. And they've been doing it for generations, so I guess some of it is passed down from generation to generation. But
that's interesting to think about. Like, you know, we have the European warm blood and the Argentine polo pony.
Chris and I almost mentioned that the other night when we were talking about this. That is a very real, I mean, that is a very real thing that we're dealing with a lot. I mean, but I feel like in the polo world, it's a bit of a misnomer, because people say the Argentine polo ponies are the best. And yes, they probably are if you are a 10-goal player playing professionally, but they are not practical for the low goal amateur player, because you start out with kind of a $30,000, $40,000 horse that you have to ship over from Argentina and all that. So it's not pocketbook friendly.
If there's thing we've said on the show, is that X racehorses, whatever you get, are the most equitable horse
for
the average horse person.
Yeah.
And then the fun of making it yourself.
I know, it's like flipping a house. Huge. It's a good time.
Flipping a house, flipping a horse, yeah. Yeah, I guess that doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, no, not quite as nice. Neil, this has been really fun, and you've clearly inspired us to give some polo lessons a try at some point, so we'll keep you posted on how that goes.
Thank you. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
Neil, do you have an online presence anywhere where people can, you know, follow your polo adventures or see what you're up to?
Just about Neil Agate, just about anywhere. I think Instagram, Facebook, it comes up, but not, I mean, I guess Instagram is probably the main place that I post polo things, although I haven't done recently, but I aspire to do that.
Let's see, we're recording today. This episode comes out the 25th, so you've got a week or so.
Got a week to get some
content out there.
I'll put up some pictures of my dirty, hairy horses at this point.
Oh, so are mine too. Yep. Yeah. All
of mine. I think the honest equestrian is the newest trend right now. So
yes. Neil, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, ladies. This has been fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986. Designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece, it's like a spa day for your horse's back, to the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle. Joy, I am so excited. We've been waiting and waiting, like basically since the last makeover, to like meet another group of Make the Makeover contestants. And we intentionally pick, you know, a new batch every year. You know, like we would love to hang out with the same four trainers over and over again, but just to keep things fresh and to get new stories and new perspectives, you know, we have a surprisingly competitive selection process. I was pleasantly shocked at the number of people who wanted to be on the podcast, and we wish that we could
I loved it though. It warmed my heart.
It did. Yeah. I was like really, really flattered that many people. And of course now I feel horrible that we can't have all 20 some of you on. But I'm really excited to introduce two of our four finalists, I guess, for our Make the Makeover series. So we have with us today, introducing with an imaginary drum roll, Dana Johnson, who is an amateur trainer from Ohio. And we have Maya Larson, who is a professional trainer from Aiken. So Maya and Dana, welcome to Retired Racehorse Radio and the Make the Makeover series.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. great to be here.
Awesome. So let's get to know you guys a little bit. And of course, your horses that you have coming with you. And Dana, I've cheated and I've opened your horses page already. So I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and John's Buckeye Bad Boy, which is the biggest one word name I've ever seen. I love it.
Right. I know. It's just like a big run on sentence. But so I am, like you said, an adult amateur rider. Most of my background is in the hunter jumper ring, but last year I decided to kind of switch things up and now we're going towards ranch riding.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Very excited.
I am super excited. So Buckeye is his barn name and I have been friends with his past owner and trainer at the track for a couple years. And I fell in love with him as a yearling. So every time, like joking, not joking, I was like, so when he fails at the track, make sure you give me a call. Sure enough, he had 5 starts, did nothing amazing, just wasn't the fastest guy on the track. So he had his last race last June, and I think he came in like 5th or 6th out of like maybe 6 horses. So I finally got the call and was able to go pick him up and let him come kind of let down for a couple months and then get started in his next career. So yeah, I have been wanting this horse for a long time. So I was super excited.
I love it. I love it when people get to follow their horses. Like, from
I was going to say the same thing. Like, I love it. And I also love that you're pivoting to the Western world because you picked, in my opinion, a very huntery type horse. So I'm very excited to see a 17 hand horse in the trail and working ranch division because I think it's going to be such a good showcase that any size horse can do this.
He is a very much hunter type mover, but he seems to really enjoy it. We did our first cow clinic where he got to meet some moo cows a month or so ago. And the clinician was just, he's like, you got to watch him. They're going to run right underneath him. But he was fine.
That's always our fear, like, especially in calving season when we've got like little bitty calves and they just don't understand. They're like, oh, look at this weird cow. And you're like, no. You know, please don't go underneath here. I love it. Well, and I've always said this on the show, you know, episode after episode, that like a good hunter mover makes a great ranch mover. Mm-hmm. So you're bang on picking a hunter type horse for the ranch ring. Cause that, you know, they like a good moving horse.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like hunter, I don't know. I feel like they just complemented each other so well and everything, mm-hmm. like knock on wood, it's been going like just transitioning into the Western world has been, I mean, everyone's just so welcoming and nice. And if I have any questions, like everyone's just very, very helpful and nice. I think we're in a good area too. So I'm in Northeast Ohio and we just seem to have like a good group of different show series and stuff in this area too, to kind of support us in getting out and trying different venues and stuff before we go to Kentucky.
Yeah, I was trying to headhunt you for our series in Pennsylvania because it's not too far from you. So if you want to come and do some tip classes.
I've signed up to me and Buckeye will be there for the spring startup weekend on May 3rd and 4th. And we're going to do that show that Sunday. And then we are doing the ranch clinic too.
Perfect. Great. I'll be there for those, but if I would, it would be.
I'll come to one of those shows.
We'll all just show up. It'll be fine.
Someone will show up. Both of us, if we can. Kristen's always, the running joke on the show is like, Kristen is always running around at the makeover and she was nicer to me this last year. Nicer to me. But
I tried.
The first year you were mean to me.
I was stressed. I was very stressed. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Love it. We're still pets. yes, we'll definitely be there and be trying to get as much footage as possible. But I'm very excited to see the 17 hand horse rocking it in the Western world.
We're excited too. So just don't take too many videos of our fails because I'm sure there'll be an awesome roll of those also. So
there always is. It's okay.
There is no fails, only lessons. Only lessons.
Oh, that was very zen of you.
Thank you. I have to be. I have a clinic this week. I have to keep that mindset. Maya, how about you? Tell us a little bit about your horse, Jewel Quist.
I think they actually pronounce it Jewel Kissed, which is kind of cute.
I like that a lot.
Oh,
better,
that makes way
I'm like,
more sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about how to pronounce this.
Yeah, that I like looked for a long time and I was like, this has to be it.
Let's go
but
with Kiss.
He's a real
I think
sweetie.
That sounds cute.
Yeah, Jewel Kissed. He's a real sweetie. He actually he raced in January, so I didn't end up picking him up until mid last month. I have a really good friend in Kentucky that I've gotten like 4 or 5 resales from over the years, and she knows kind of the quality horse I like and like what I want from them in terms of like how they move and what their brain is like. So she called me at the beginning of February and said, hey, you got to come get this one. And I wasn't really looking, but I was like, well, you know, so ended up going and picking him up. He's really, he's an interesting dude. I was expecting a lot more, I guess you could say, like drive from him because he's really well bred, but he's really, really meek. So it'll take a little while, I think, for him to get confident and sort of have a little more personality, but we're getting there, so I'm excited about him.
Very cool. I honestly sometimes I feel like the meek horses, as they get more secure and comfortable with their training, like they can be quite bold because they don't want to disappoint you. Like
absolutely,
it just takes some
yeah.
time to work that out of their personalities.
Absolutely. And I mean, I gave him a little while and then just got right started. And I've ridden him. He's had 4 rides and okay. he walk, trot, canters, changes direction, serpentines, all that fun stuff. So I think he's really got that brain. He just needs to be a little more confident.
Oh, fun.
I love that. So Maya, we know, you know, from your application makes it sound very official. You know, we know that you have a background in fox hunting, but you know, also a lot of cross-discipline training. Are you getting a vibe for where he might be a good fit discipline-wise?
I have no idea.
Totally fair. It's
only
really March.
Hoping. Yeah, I was really hoping he would want to be an event horse. That's what I come from and what I really love to do. Mm. But I would be perfectly happy to see him go and do the dressage. I think depending on how he comes around, he's definitely a nice enough mover and super quiet in the bridle already. So. We're gonna shoot for eventing though. I think he'll come around.
Nice. That's awesome. Also I was looking at your business page and I am obsessed with Chewy. Do you still have her?
Chewy just sold last week, but she was really
congratulations
a fan favorite. You're not
to Chewy's
alone
new
in that.
People. Okay, so because podcasting is not a visual medium, Chewy is a pony draft cross. Like chocolate palomino looking like chonk monster. She's the cutest thing, just sort of like bopping around. So everybody go go take a look at
and
her
she
even
had,
though she sold.
She was cool. When I got her, we called her Chewy because she had so much hair, she looked like Chewbacca. And then we clipped her and she had dapples, like silver dapples everywhere. So yeah, she was a fun cute. One. But yeah, congratulations to her new owners for sure.
Oh, that's fun. I love that. So Maya and Dana, both of you are first-time trainers, so we would love to know like why you wanted to get into the makeover and give this a go. So Dana, we'll start with you.
So I have been a fan of the not only the RRP, but just the makeover, and always it's been like on my bucket list, but the opportunity has never presented itself where everything lines up like in my life in general and with horses and everything like that, that it was a possibility. So last June, when I purchased Buckeye, it was like in my mind at that, I was like, oh, I wonder if that's something that we could do. And as we got closer and closer to December and he was having letdown time and kind of like, I was like, oh, I think this is totally a possibility. So we just kind of took the plunge and applied. But yeah, it's something I've always wanted to do. I've had lots of off the track thoroughbreds, but it's just timing never worked out with all the millions of different directions my life is always going.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I can feel that. And where did you hear about the makeover?
So I had been following, so we lived in Virginia for a long time. And there was 2 other trainers that at a barn that I was actually taking lessons with under the same trainer that had taken horses. And I, you know, can't even think of their names off the top of my head right now, but it was kind of like, they were the ones that introduced me to it. And it was, I guess, back in 2018 when I first like became aware and started following along.
Nice. Yeah. 2018. That was the good old days. That's when I did it. So I'm a makeover vet, I guess a veteran, well, veteran at this point, because I've done so many as our RP staff. But yeah, 2018 was an excellent year to follow the makeover, if I do say so myself.
You're an influencer, Kristen.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's why. Oh, dear. Maya, how about you? What got you into the makeover?
So kind of similar to Dana, I've been watching it and sort of keeping track of it over the years, and had a lot of thoroughbreds in and out. But this year in particular, my personal horse was injured, so he had to be turned out kind of on rehab for the next year. So a stall opened up, and I, you know, selfishly kind of was like, well, I guess this would be a good opportunity to get myself a project. So, you know, doors opened, and I decided to give it a go. I have a couple friends who have gone in the last few years and had nothing but good things to say as well. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I love that it's like a thing that like, oh, my friends did, and like now it's my turn. Like it's got like that kind of cachet, you know, among friends groups. It's making me realize like I don't have that many local horse friends.
Yeah. Like,
no one I know from here has done it. But that's really cool. And I'm glad that the timing worked out. It's too bad, you know, that your other guy's injured, but you know, it's nice that you can sort of turn a lemon into lemonade in this.
Right. Case. Yeah. We make the most of the situation. Right.
Yeah. I love that. So what are you hoping to like learn or achieve this year, you know, other than make it to the makeover, of course?
I think personally, I would like to see what I'm capable of with a horse for an extended period of time. Usually when I get refills, they end up moving quicker than I would like. So I'm really, really excited to have a longer timeline that I'm committed to truly like invest in him and, you know, sort of not necessarily prove my worth, but sort of encourage myself in that way and be able to be a little competitive with it too.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that's like, I'm happy that you have that opportunity as a professional.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a different perspective that I think we typically get on here too. Like, I think there's a lot of people I personally know who have been like trying to sell horses and it hasn't been going as fast for them. So to hear like you're looking for more time to see like how far you can take a horse in this amount of time, I think is really unique and such a cool opportunity.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, like I don't know that we've had a lot of professional first time makeover trainers on the series in the past. So I think this is actually, yeah, this is like, I'm really excited, you know, to see like, yeah, like that's not your normal business model and that's not your normal training model. And like, I'm so excited to like learn along with you, you know, and see like how this goes for you.
Right.
So, yeah, cool. I'm
right. Yeah.
I'm not even the one riding. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Go Maya. I love this. So Dana, how about you? What are you hoping to learn or achieve along the way?
So we're just really excited just to see how far me and Buckeye can make it in training. And then also switching disciplines while ranch riding is kind of parallel to a lot of the movements and things in the hunter, it is kind of a new world learning all about, you know, different. I'm still kind of missing my English saddle and just adjusting to Western too. So yeah, it's a learning curve.
I like that you guys are, you know, doing this journey together though, like you and your horse, you know, and it's not like you have never tried ranch either. Like you're doing it the right way. Right. I think a lot of people tend, and we don't see this as much anymore at the makeover, but for a while people would be like, well, I spent my whole year training my, you know, dressage or event horse and we made it to the makeover and I'm going to get my money's worth. So we're going to do a second discipline and ranch looks kind of fun. And they would just sort of wing it. And people aren't doing that anymore because we've kind of started to set a tone of like, you should really kind of be prepared, you know, if you're going to go and do this on the national stage. You know, and so of course I appreciate that, like you're throwing yourself into clinics and lessons and trainers and like, you know, you're approaching it in a very structured way, which I think is great, you know, and that sets like so many good habits, even if you can't maintain that like post makeover, like, you know, you have so many resources now that and relationships that you're forming that like, that's going to serve you for the rest of your partnership with Buckeye. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Oh, 100%. We're definitely feeling I'm enjoying, and it's making me set aside more time because I feel like when you have numbers of horses and things like that, it turns into 75% of all barn work and maybe only 25% riding. So this is making me set aside more time to actually enjoy my time at the barn and utilize the arena and things like that, where I was maybe getting a little bit lackadaisical with it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So I'll start with you, Dana. We'll wrap up with this last question. Is we're in the month of March right now. This comes out on March 25th. What are your primary focuses and goals this month for you and your horse?
So right now, our goal is we are currently going walk, trot, canter under saddle or lope. Sorry, we're loping under saddle. But we're working on just like some subtleness, some bending, and him just kind of focusing and using his brain. Like right now, the running joke in the barn is he's like Ricky Bobby. Like once he breaks into a canter, he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Cause he just goes.
That's an excellent analogy.
That's his loving nickname for the moment. So just to kind of bring his head down a little bit to match up with what his body's doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent goal. I'm actually in a very similar place with my horse who I've had much longer and we're still figuring out balance. That is not to deter you though. My horse, she's a late bloomer. We'll just say that. Maya, how about you? What are your goals for this month?
I would say that this month with my horse, we'll be focusing a lot on self-control. He has a tendency to be quite reactive still just because he is so fresh off the track and he's only four. So I would love to see him begin to process his surroundings and process the stimulus around him. And then keep working. That'll definitely take more than just a month, but that's something that once he gets that sorted out, he'll be a lot more fun to ride.
For sure. I think anyone who's getting their first off the track, especially a youngster, that's probably we're all working on that goal to a degree. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear how next time you guys come back on, hearing how these goals are going, and we'll be following you on social. So we'll wrap with that. Maya, where can people follow your journey?
I have an Instagram and a Facebook. My business is called Red Pine Equestrian and I'm in Aiken, South Carolina. If you awesome. Want to look me up.
Yeah. Listeners can follow if you want to follow her journey. And Dana, where can people follow your journey?
So I've been posting semi-updates on TikTok. My username is Buckeye Birth. It's mixed in with some work stuff, but kind of going towards more all around everything. But that's where I've been doing updates at.
Awesome. We'll make sure to include those in our show notes. Thank you both for joining us. And we wish you the best of luck as you begin this journey to the makeover.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Joy, we don't have anyone from New Vocations on with us tonight, but that is, of course, not going to stop us from featuring an adoptable horse of the week. And we thought we'd do something kind of fun this time. And we each picked a horse we thought the other one would like. So we're going to, like, we have not run this past each other yet. We're going to just, like, drop the horse on the other one and see if they like it. And then we'll pick one of those horses to actually feature as our adoptable horse of the week. But I'm really excited to see how, I guess, like, this feels like a personality test. Each other.
I'm sweating. Yeah, I know. I want you to know that, like, my Apple Watch is going off, that my heart rate went up and asked if I'm exercising.
Oh, geez. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. What if I'm like, I got you this. And you're like, thanks. I hate it. Like, this is what you think of me. Yeah. This
was a mistake. Like, oh, no. Do I even know you? Or are we friends at all? Is this a fever dream?
Okay. Well, I'm really glad we're bringing all the listeners along for this ride. So you're welcome, everyone.
Like, promise, this is happening in real time.
Yeah, no, we legit were like, let's do this thing. Oh my God, let's not.
Speaking of real time, I'm going to talk about our logistics. Should we drop the horse's link in the chat so that it's easy for us to find it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But
okay,
then,
now you guys know for sure this is happening in real time.
Okay.
Okay. But,
all right, here I go. I'm pasting yours in the chat, and I have chosen for you, I think you would love, Snow Loves a Fight.
I looked at that horse earlier today.
Like in a good way?
Yes. I was all right. What a cute horse.
I think that like you're so like elegant and tall and long. Like I think you and this mare would match so beautifully. She is a 16-1 gray. She's like, she looks maybe a little huntery. I haven't watched the videos, admittedly, but yes. I think that she would be beautiful in dressage, and I think you guys would make a beautiful visual match. So
I appreciate you saying that, because I looked at her. I thought she was stunning, which I'm not normally a gray fan just because of the maintenance to keep them clean. However, it's like her eye, her face in this, and she just looks like she's got a really solid brain. She actually fits the levels that I, you know, when I'm ready for my next horse that I was going towards, which is a level one, level two. And I like that she is, even though like physically she's low to moderate impact as a recommendation, like that's perfect for what I want. I just want my next horse to be a pleasure for fun, going to carry me through my 40s and 50s.
Oh gosh, we're at that stage, aren't we? We did mention that earlier, didn't we?
We did. We threw our age out there. But like, that is what I'm looking for. And her height is perfect. I also like she's a little more slim built, which is, I love a really refined mare, like very feminine looking. And so she fits my type. You did a great job. That's
exactly what I was thinking. I was like, this is just such a refined.
I like a Barbie horse. I want one to dress up.
Yeah. All right. My turn. Do me.
Your turn. Okay. So I dropped him in the chat. It's the gelding. We're featuring a mare and a gelding on this one. And I chose Clean Energy. Oh, I loved his face. He is a cute chestnut. He is 15'2", and I was like, a perfect ranch horse for a tall girl. He's still got like a nice little body. Like, he's not too tight. He's definitely going to fill out a little bit more with some muscle and really have that cow horse look. I also love he has a very stoic face. Like, to me, he is just a timeless looking thoroughbred. And he's ready for like a leisurely low lifestyle. And I'm like, you have Jobber, who like, he pushes you and like makes you really think and work. And like, I would love you to have kind of the opposite of Jobber too.
So of course I can enjoy.
You have both worlds. You can swap and switch and know exactly what you want. So the two chestnuts, but with different personalities. Guy.
And he's got that nice level top line I like to see. Yeah, he's got good bone to him.
He's barefoot. Height.
Yeah, that's nice. typically quiet, but also likes to play. Perfect. Generally a straightforward ride past the truck and trailer test on his trail ride. Oh, I like that. We live right across from a truck depot, so that's helpful. He'd learn real fast if he didn't come already with that. But, enjoys grooming with soft brushes. That sounds like a Jobber. Yeah, perfect. Barefoot. Oh, I like him a lot. Oh, and he's cute. He's got like a big blaze that goes down over his nose and two big white stockings.
He's behind. What I think of when I think of classic chestnut.
Yes. Like,
he's very pretty, but like not girly. Like he's just got this like nice, timeless classic.
And he just looks like a good working dude. Yeah.
He'd be like, and he looks like he's ready for his job. Like, he looks like he's ready to work with someone and have like his person. And I feel like for the ranch life, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. And he's on sale. His adoption fee is $500 because right now New Vocations has take $500 off adoption fees with the Spring Fling adoption special when you bring a horse home by March 31st. So you guys are hearing this March 25th. You still have time. You got 6 days. So hook up the trailer, take a look at these guys, pick your favorite steed and take them home.
Yes. We know that if you resonate with Kristen or myself, make sure to check out Clean Energy and also the lovely mare Snow Loves a Fight and bring them home and then tag us in it and tell us how perfect they are so we know if we were right.
Yeah, then we'll know if you're Team Joy or Team Kristen in taste. I love this. We should do it like this every time. Oh, we can't do that every time, but that was really fun.
That was fun. That's fun. So check it out, horseadoption.com. Get your applications in. And if you don't have a trailer, they'll hook you up for transportation. They have all the resources, so no excuses. Get your adoption applications in.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. It's calf season, y'all. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram at The Horseback Rider. It's still calf season, y'all. And on Facebook at Jobber Bill, Racehorse to Ranch Horse. My email is kbentley@therrp.org.
I just realized, Kristen, we keep saying Twitter and I think it's supposed to say X, but I'm forever going to say Twitter and Elon Musk can at me later.
Sorry, Elon.
Yeah, it's fine. all complaints can go to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Joy can be Joy. I'm Joy. I can be found on Instagram at MisfitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Cashel Company, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And always add more leg.
Bye, guys.